A rich tradition. College Football Podcast is now live.
And welcome back to A Rich Tradition. Two friends, one love, and that is college football. I'm your host, or one of your hosts, Robbie Steltenpohl, and my partner in crime, my man, Spencer Van Horn, cannot be with us tonight because he is, like a lot of people, treat his birthday like a birthday week, and his birthday was, where I'm recording on Thursday, his birthday was yesterday, on Wednesday, and he is out celebrating his birthday tonight with some friends, and super awesome that he gets to do that, and we just wanted to make sure that we stay consistent, have some material for you guys to listen to over the weekend, and try to prepare you for this week's games and review last week's games. So tonight, we are going to do just that. We are going to review last week's games. We are going to we're going to talk about where I've got people ranked after 2 weeks of games. And then we're going to jump into picks. And Spencer and I both have each other's picks, so we know what's going on. There won't be any confusion of who picked what. So, and also we're going to hopefully talk about something fun at the end if I have time. But tonight, I want to start off with another rant, because that's just, it's fun for me to do that whenever Spencer's not here. But tonight's rant revolves around something of news that dropped today. The college football, committee or view, I don't know, whoever the crap, the NCAA made a decision today on Thursday, September 15th, that that games on the national championship game will no longer just be on Monday night. It will still be on Monday night. I'm sorry, I worded that really weird, but it will no longer be at 8:30. It will be going on now at 7:30. And some people are like upset and bothered by this, and like, cause they don't want it on Mondays. And look, people, I get it. I understand that you don't want it on Mondays. Like that is fair and that is reasonable. I hate that it's on Mondays because I have to turn right around and teach on Tuesday morning. It sucks. However, what is the better option for maximum viewership? Because I'm going to tell you, it's not on Saturdays and Sundays. You know why? Because the NFL playoffs are going on during that time. And you as a college football fan do not want the treasured prize of the college football playoff championship to be on the same day or during the same time as these NFL wildcard games or NFL playoff games, because you're going to lose massive amounts of viewership, you're going to lose massive amounts of advertising, which is money. And so if you have it on, if you have it on Mondays, you own it. You own that time slot. Now, I will say this, though. Probably the best option is to figure out a way to do it on that Friday. Like, that is probably the best thing. To get on that Friday, most people, you know, some people, a lot of people are off on Saturdays. And it's just like a complete full week of games. You know, or I'm sorry, full weekend of games. Starting on Friday. That would probably be a better option, I guess. But I am perfectly fine right now with it being on Monday. Then pushing it back an hour or up an hour actually helps immensely for me, specifically people like me who have to get up early. But I don't know. I just really don't have this like vitriol towards it being on Mondays. Is it a little frustrating? Yeah, I hate getting up the next morning super early after staying up and watching the game. But you know what? I would much rather have that and sacrifice a little sleep then have my game, have this national championship game be on a Saturday or Sunday and be squashed by the numbers of the NFL. I mean, it's why we don't freaking have any Thursday night games anymore. Like, we had him, like, the first week or two, and now we don't have him anymore because NFL is king. And that does suck. And I just thought that was interesting. I'm glad they're pushing it up an hour. Maybe I'll just, you know, quit complaining. I'll just stay up, and I'll just watch the game. And I think maybe that's what we should just do. Because all we do, I feel like, is complain about stuff. And that really gets frustrating. Okay, anyway. Moving into the picks or the games from last week. Now, here's a failure on my part. I'm going to have to go back and listen to the podcast and go through like and make sure our picks are right. I'm going to try to remember how the picks went as I cover these games really quickly. But we had a chaotic week too. It was very, very interesting about how these last 2 weeks have been very upset heavy. Josh Pate this week went through how chaotic it has already been as far as comparing it to 2007 and how this may actually be, like, already 2 weeks in, it may be worse if these upsets and if these this parity continues the way it's been going. But let's start off with one. Let's start off with the big, not big shocker on the result, but the big shocker of how the game went. And that is Bama at Texas. Now, Spencer and I both picked Bama. We said Bama big, I think. Like, Spencer, of course, doing his normal optimistic thing when it comes to these games, laid out how Texas could possibly keep it close, but neither one of us thought he would. I thought they would. But then we got to see Quinn Ewers. And Quinn Ewers showed us something very important. He is a dude. He was slinging it. And Xavier Worthy was killing Alabama. And then we have a play. We have the roughing the passer call that occurred. And look, I would not call it a dirty play. I have a hard time calling hits like that dirty because I didn't think the intent was to hurt. I think the intent was to hit the quarterback, which is exactly what he's supposed to freaking do. So, I don't think anything negative in that regard. But after that, the game should have been a blowout for Bama. But here's the thing. It wasn't. It did not become a blowout at all, ever, during the game. Bryce Young looked the most pedestrian that he has ever before, just like C.J. Stroud against Notre Dame just a week before. They both have had down to earth games, and this was his down to earth game. They had penalties all over the place. I think it was like 12 penalties. Even Will Anderson did not really play well. But to me, these are the alarming things. Like, look, okay, Texas, you had a close loss. You know, Florida had a close loss last year, and then they ended up firing their coach. So, like, I'm not going to – I'll just say Quinn Ewers is a dude. Xavier Worthy is awesome, and we still have one more year with him. Texas is probably going to be very good next year if they're able to keep everybody like they should. But Bama. I am in no way, shape, or form going to wave the white flag on Saban at Bama. I'm not going to say, oh, they're dead, they're overrated. I will say that there are some things, though. There's about three or four things that have me a little concerned. The one thing that doesn't have me concerned, guys, is the penalties. I am not concerned about that. They were playing in front of 105,000 people who were jacked to the nine for this game. And it was affecting them. Will Anderson even said it was the loudest stadium he's ever been in. And that dude has played in front of a lot of people. And he would know. And so I'm not worried about penalties. Here's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about the wide receivers for Bama. Now, the easy response is Tyler Harrell and JoJo Earl will be back. But hopefully by the end of October, and things should be better. And that is probably a true statement. However, are we going to be in another situation this year where Alabama is going to have to rely on two receivers, JoJo Earl and Tyler Harrell, for things to open up or things to be good for them? because I was even concerned about the fact that they couldn't run the ball. And that brings me to the next thing, the second thing I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about Alabama's offensive line. You know, I think it was after the Auburn game, they changed lineups of their O-line or something like that. I don't know. I can't remember exactly the narrative, but I do remember that there was a change that was made, and after the Auburn game, and that was what really helped them against Georgia in that following week. But their O-line was getting kind of blown off the ball at times. They could not keep Bryce Young upright. They were constantly in his face, Texas was. And this is a Texas defensive front or defense that was kind of awful last year. And so, you know, give praise to them for turning around in such a short time. But Alabama is still having issues that they had been having last year. And look, they played a national title game, so it's not like some horrible thing. I'm just saying these are concerns that I have moving forward that are, for the most part, easily fixed. And then the third thing is you absolutely have got to wrap up. There are so many missed tackles by Alabama in this game. There were just so many. And, you know, I have to be fair. Like, Saban is a defensive guru. He always has been. So, like, I'm not gonna harp too much on this, but I am going to say that, I mean, I've given Grantham crap for years because his DBs couldn't tackle. His linebackers couldn't tackle. Henry Toutoua, I think that's how you pronounce his name, Henry Toutoua, the linebacker for Bama, like he misses, I swear, it's like all you got to do is run at him. He's never going to tackle anybody who's in front of him. So, yeah, those are my three concerns for Bama. They're going to be fine, though. Like, they're going to get right this week. Saban indicated that he is going to be practice a lot harder this week. And so, yeah, those are my just three concerns. I'm not acting crazy. So, yeah, I just wanted to make mention of that to you. So, yeah, I don't really have anything else to add there for them. And I had to pause for a second because my son came down and got out of bed like he was told not to. I don't really know where Texas goes from here because they could easily lose three or four more games, and I'm still eyeing next year. Like that's where I'm at with when it comes to them. Look, Georgia rolls on Samford. They scored 30 in the first half. This is the first coach to ever give Kirby a job. I understood what this was. He was not going to hit that 52-point spread. That was just too many points. He respects Chris Hatcher too much to do that to him. So, yeah, we'll just leave it at that. Stetson Bennett continues to, put up yards. 24 of 34 for 300 yards and a touchdown. Okay, next. All right, so now we have a series of upsets. I said on last week's podcast that the Appalachian State-Texas A&M game was a game that everyone should keep an eye on. I was not bold enough to call an upset, so I'm not going to try to act like I did. But I will say that I made mention that A&M did not look good in their first game against whoever it was, Norfolk State, I guess. I can't remember. They did not look good in their first game, and I was concerned. Sam Houston, sorry. They did not look good at all. And then they go into this game against Appalachian State, and they don't look good again. Now, here's the thing. Like, a lot of people, like, put on, like, Appalachian State, whoop them up and down the field. Let's hold the phone there, okay, a little bit. Chase Bryce only threw for 134 yards with 15 completions. Peoples, their running back, only had 112 yards and off 19 carries. This was a defensive, like, defensive matchup from hell. But Haynes King is the narrative because he looks awful. And Jimbo Fisher is the narrative because his offense continues to be pedestrian and not effective. And I wish I would have thought of the bit that Josh Pate did of the gallon jug of milk from 2014. Because that is what his offense is. It is 2014 offense. He is carrying 17 pages along with him. And nothing looks organized with Texas on offense. Their defense is pretty freaking legit. They may have the best corners in the country, but we won't know until the season keeps going. But Appalachian State goes into A&M, and they were not fazed by the crowd. Of course, there's the jokes about what was said the night before from their little fan pep rally thing, and yes, of course, that's funny to me as well. But like, I'm just not surprised by this. Their offense is a joke, and I'm gonna tell you right now, as someone who hears whispers from people who would know, there's legitimacy to the fact that there is going to be some offensive talent that will leave A&M if things don't change very quickly in the offseason, that is. All right, next. Oh man, I just. Heartbreaking. Notre Dame. I love you, Dad. I love you, Ryan. They are huge Notre Dame fans. I thought this was a shoe-in, just beat-down, like, rebound game for Notre Dame. No, it was not. Tyler Buchner looked anything but a five-star. He had 201 yards passing with two interceptions. Their defense could not tackle, especially Marshall's running back, Laybourne, who had 163 yards rushing off 31 carries and a touchdown. Here's the most damning stat, though. Buchner had 201 yards receiving or passing. Mayer, the tight end for Notre Dame, had 103 receiving. So if it's 1-1, like if it's the same quarterback, which I don't think it directly is, it almost looks like half of his yards came from his tight end. I watched most of this game. Notre Dame just looked absolutely pedestrian on offense. That their offensive line is not what they were. They lost some talent from last year. They have no speed on the outside, folks. Look, some of you are loving this. Some of you are loving the fact that Notre Dame isn't good because you think they're overhyped or you think they're overrated. And look, I made a whole defense of them, a couple weeks ago about them being overrated because I didn't think they were as far as a program. But yeah, this team is not good, and they may not even go bowling. I hate that for Marcus Freeman. It kind of goes back to, Ty Willingham. He got a raw deal whenever he got Notre Dame, was very successful, and was immediately was replaced by Charlie Weiss for reasons no one knows. And I mean, of course, everyone indicates it was racially inclined, and it's not 2004 anymore. So I'm hoping that doesn't happen here. I'm hoping that Marcus Freeman is given the ample time because his recruiting class is incredible. His recruiting class is going to be top three probably by when it's all said and done. But they have no wide receivers on the outside. Their skill guys and their corners are just trash on defense. And so he's got some work he's got to do. And, there's a reason why Brian Kelly bolted like he did. And I think there are multiple reasons, but I think the cupboard being a little bit more bare than people realize was one of them. All right, next. I picked BYU to beat Baylor, so I was happy about that. I was right about that. But I will tell you this, just being completely honest. When I found out that their two best wide receivers were out, I called Spencer and told him that I was officially changing my pick to Baylor. So I just want to be open about that. And there you go. But what ends up happening, BYU wins. Jalen Hall is awesome, like I did say he was. They've got Chase Roberts, and I'm not gonna lie, like as someone who has a 4-year-old who watches watches a lot of Paw Patrol, I did love that Robert Griffin just kept saying when Chase would catch a pass, Chase is on the case. I thought that was hilarious. Look, BYU is legit. Now, I don't know how legit. We're going to talk about that here in a minute. We'll see. We'll talk about how legit they could possibly be. I think Baylor has some issues on offense. I think BYU is good defensively, but it's not like Baylor should be it felt almost anemic throughout the, like, I don't know. I just expect Baylor to score more than a total of 20 points in a game, especially one that goes to double overtime. So yeah, a little disappointed in Baylor. BYU continues to be a team that I like, and they continue to play a schedule that is going to be very tough. All right, I'm going to try to get through this a little quicker. Sorry that I've taken so long. But all right, Kentucky at Florida. All right, what did I say last week? I said that while I credit Richardson for being a great playmaker, it caught me off guard a little bit how not good he was at these short passes, these timing routes. I was concerned about that. And you know what Kentucky did? Kentucky said, okay, we're going to contain you and make you throw the ball. We're not going to give you anything over the top. We're going to keep everything in front of us, and we're going to make you be a quarterback and not just a playmaker. And look, that is not to say that Richardson is now all of a sudden trash, but I just said, let's hold our freaking horses on using, oh, he's the next Vince Young or the next Cam Newton. Like, I just thought that was so unfair to that kid to make those comparisons for him. And I think I did say that last week. It's just not fair to him. So, excuse me. So, yeah, Kentucky goes into Florida, wins. This is the second time out of 4 years that that Kentucky has won. Will Levis played good enough. I think they have something going here with Dane Key, their wide receiver. You know, he had 3 receptions for 83 yards and a touchdown. Kavassier Smoke averaged 5.3 yards a carry. Like, Kentucky did well against a defense that doesn't have a lot of depth. And we've talked about that and talked about that. Florida's depth on the defensive line and depth in general across the board is going to be their detriment. It's going to be why they lose these kind of games. But this game kind of didn't, like, Kentucky, you know, wins by 10, but it really didn't feel like, it didn't feel like they won by 10. It kind of felt like it was a lot closer than that. But Anthony Richardson is going to grow and he's going to grow into a really good quarterback. I'm hoping that they can keep him one more year so they can get some better wide receiver talent around him, because that's ultimately what he needs. He needs talent around him on the offensive side of the ball. They need an O-line. Did okay against Utah. They didn't look as great against Kentucky. And Kentucky continues to play solid football. Okay? Give him credit there. South Carolina, you know, gets beat by 14. South Carolina gave up 23 points in the fourth quarter to Arkansas. Rattler put up 376 yards, but I kind of feel like it was more garbage time yards than anything else. I don't know what to think of South Carolina. Like, they're going to beat teams that they probably should beat, and they're going to lose to teams that are better than them. Okay, Tennessee-Pittsburgh. This game went to overtime. I picked Pitt to win. I don't regret that pick. I think Pittsburgh did exactly, I mean, they got to a 10, they got up by 10, I think. I think they got up 10-0, and then it was just kind of went back and forth the rest of the game. Tennessee had a 17-point second quarter. Hendon Hooker did not look dialed in on the on those first few drives in the first quarter. I distinctly remember him just like kind of overthrowing players and stuff like that. But then it became like a back and forth, especially in the fourth quarter, and then they get in overtime. And when you get overtime, it can just kind of be a flip of the coin. And Pittsburgh unfortunately lost. But Abba Nikanda, their running back, Pittsburgh's running back, is freaking awesome. I love watching him run. Tillman for Tennessee, the wide receiver, is really good as well. Look, Tennessee does not have a good defense. That continues to be the case. Pittsburgh is not set up offensively to take advantage of that. And other teams will, though. I really do think Florida is... I think there's a really good chance Florida can beat Tennessee. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll talk about that later. All right. Washington State beat Wisconsin. Yeah, you did not mishear that. Washington State beat Wisconsin. And I don't even remember if we talked about this game. I cannot remember. This is one of the games I can't remember if what we picked or not. I think I did. I think I mentioned Cameron Ward, the transfer from Incarnate, the FCS school. But this game was kind of ugly. Like, it was a slugfest, man. It really, really was ugly. I don't have really a lot to add here, except for Washington State seems to be able to play aggressive football. Maybe they'll actually take Stanford's place of being a good ground-and-pound team in the Pac-12. Not a lot to add there. Okay, lastly, just Texas Tech is 2-0. They beat Houston last week. That's important because of what we're going to talk about here in a minute. So that's all the games, all the big games for the week. But I want to take a quick second, and I want to share just my rankings coming into this week, and kind of just explain a couple. So, one, I have Georgia. Two, I have Ohio State. Three, I have Bama. Right now, I think there's a gap from Georgia and all the teams under them. I don't think that gap is going to last very long, but I do think right now there is a gap. Ohio State, they look more in tune on offense this week. They seem to get right. And then, Bama, we already talked about the concerns. And look, here's the thing. My rankings are going to be so fluid throughout the year. I have no problem drastically changing things if I'm giving new information. So, I got Bama 3. I got Michigan 4. Just a little thing here. Michigan's schedule is so bad. Like, I'm just waiting for a team to give me a reason to jump them. And it may happen actually this weekend. BYU at 5. I really like BYU right now. I really, really do. Next is Oklahoma. Oklahoma has just played incredibly well. They've been very efficient. They have not seemed to really lose a beat offensively and seem to be better defensively in these first two games. But they're going to have a big test this weekend, so we'll see. Then we have 7. We have USC. I didn't want to own it. I didn't want to believe it. But I don't know if y'all knew this, but Caleb Williams and Jordan Addison are really freaking good. And back-to-back weeks, they have just put up massive numbers. But we'll see in a couple weeks how good they really are. 8 is Clemson. I do not feel good about having Clemson at 8. But I really did not know who else to put there that I felt any more confident. But in 2 weeks, no. Yeah, in 2 weeks, Clemson plays NC State, so we'll figure out something there with Clemson. Number 9, Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State has become the team that we knew, like that we remember from about 5 or 6 years ago where they are offensively focused. Spencer Sanders is dealing right now. I don't know what that's going to look like when they start playing Big 12 teams, but right now they look pretty solid. And then we have number 10, we have Miami. I have some hesitancies about Miami for the extension of the season because of their depth, but right now they look really freaking good. So if you have any questions or comments or pushback on that, don't hesitate, man. Text me. Shoot me something on shoot me a text or a DM or something, a comment on Facebook, and let me know what you think. Okay, so let me set this preamble. I am dubbing this weekend Fake ID Saturday. Okay, here is why. Because there are a collection of teams that want us to believe, or there are a collection of teams that are coming into the weekend where they have prove-it games. Now, these prove-it games can be something from you want to prove that you are a contender for the playoffs, you want to prove that you're a contender for your conference, or you just want to prove that you are not garbage. Okay? There are teams all throughout this week that are experiencing this and have an opportunity to show this. And I would argue that it's probably like 90% of these games are fake ID games. And I started using this term a couple years ago. But yeah, I think fake ID really works here. It's just like, you could say fool's gold. You could say, you know, sheep in wolf's clothing. But here we're gonna stick with fake ID. And so let's go through this. First team, BYU at Oregon. Now, Oregon has not really, you know, even though they played last week, the last remembrance we have of BYU or of Oregon is them getting stomped by Georgia. And that can be one of two things. One, they are really bad. Or two, Georgia is really freaking good. Or three, there's a middle ground. And it's a little bit of both. I like to lean towards the latter, the last part, or number two, that Georgia is really good. But BYU, it plays one of the toughest schedules in the country. They play essentially an entire Pac-12 schedule. But they have an opportunity this week to get an impressive win. Because I'm going to tell you guys, I don't really care if Oregon isn't really a top 25 team. You're still going to Oregon. You're going to the Pac-12. And you're going on the road. You're playing them. And I give them credit for that. And, you know, they still have at Notre Dame. They get Arkansas at home, which I have no idea why Arkansas would agree to play them in the middle of the year. They still have at Boise, and they have at Stanford. And so, like, BYU is going on the road a lot for their games, but they have an opportunity to make a statement. And look, I'm going to keep them at 5 this week if they win this game. And for me, I don't know who Spencer picked. I'm thinking he picked BYU here because on this Google Doc, he didn't respond. He put a name by everything else except for this one game. So, and I'm picking BYU. I think at least one of their two wide receivers is going to be back. I don't trust Bo Nix. I do not trust Bo Nix at all. Y'all know that. Y'all have heard me vent about him. I do not trust him. Give me BYU. Give me the 30-year-old Mormon players who just came off mission trying to prove themselves this year. And good on them. Good on them. Because I think in the next year, definitely in the next year or two, they're going to be in the Big 12. And so, you know, we'll see what happens. And again, I think Spencer picked BYU as well. Next, Oklahoma at Nebraska. Okay. All right, Oklahoma. Oh, and by the way, the fake ID part of this goes for BYU and Oregon. BYU, you want us to believe that you're good? You want us to believe? Go beat what could be a mediocre team on the road. Oregon, your fake ID. You want to show us that you're not garbage? You want to show us that you can compete? Go beat a BYU team that is headhunting right now. Go beat them. Okay? Next, Oklahoma at Nebraska. This is definitely a fake ID game. Oklahoma, you cannot lose this game. Oklahoma, if you want to be considered for the playoff, if you want the national media to respect you and you no longer having Lincoln Riley, you cannot lose this game. Nebraska is not any, there's nothing fake ID here. We knew they were bad when they had a coach. They're going to be bad now without a coach. But you cannot lose this game, Oklahoma. You cannot. Both of us have Oklahoma winning this game. Next. All right. Miami at Texas A&M. All right, look, this is a fake ID game again for both teams. Miami, you have wanted to be back for a very long time. Everyone thought it was close in 2017. Everyone thought it was close when you won like 10 straight, and then you lost your final three. You have an opportunity. You have a better quarterback than anything A&M has faced so far this year. You have good running backs. You are getting your starting left tackle back. You want to be respected. You got it. You cannot go into A&M. You cannot go into College Station and lose after Appalachian State just beat them. Texas A&M, you cannot lose this game, or you are going to be considered utter garbage. Jimbo Fisher, it does not matter what you do in the next three or four games following this. You're not beating Bama. But the other three games, like A&M has the toughest stretch of the next four games, I think it is. Like they have this game, then they go to Jerry's World for Arkansas. I want to get this right. They go to Jerry's World for Arkansas, then they play at Mississippi State, then they play at Bama. They have an incredibly tough four-game stretch, including this game. And this is one of the most winnable of those games. But Jimbo, if you want to get people off your case, you got to win this game. Because I'm revoking someone's fake ID in this game. I am. All right, next. Penn State at Auburn. I'm very excited for this game. Penn State, though, like let's see what happens, okay? You are up for a fake ID game because I don't trust Sean Clifford. I believe that the rest of the talent on this team is very good. I think that James Franklin is a really good coach. You are going into this voodoo environment at 7 o'clock at night, which, by the way, the Miami-Texas A&M game is at 9 p.m. What the crap is that? Anyway, Penn State at Auburn. You're going into Jordan-Hare at night. They're going to have some garbage orange out because you did a whiteout. TJ Finley looks like he has freaking concrete on his feet. Penn State, you cannot lose this game. You have the better talent, but you also have Sean Clifford, who I don't trust. But Auburn, like, and Auburn, this is, there's nothing to take from you. If you win this game, people are going to love you and respect you. They're still going to, because you have to make this an ugly game to win. TJ Finley and Ashford are not really good. Rashford are not really good quarterbacks. But if you can make this game ugly and you can shorten it, then you will have a chance. Because I do know that your defensive line is pretty dang good. And Penn State's offensive line is okay. But, I forgot to tell. I'm so sorry, guys. Both Spencer and I picked Miami to win against A&M. Both Spencer and I are picking Penn State to win. I'm picking Penn State to win and win big. I know that it's like 3.5. I'm picking Penn State to win by like 17. I'm picking them to win big, because I may not trust or like Sean Clifford, but I dislike TJ Finley and that offense even worse. That offense is so bad for Auburn. All right, next. Texas Tech at NC State. NC State, all I have heard all offseason is how you are going to be a dark horse for the playoff. All I have heard is how you are going to win the ACC finally. You are going to, Leary is going to finally take that next step because you've got such a senior laden, or you've got so many veterans across the board on your team. You cannot lose to Texas Tech. Do not lose to them. as you're not listening to me. Bo Spencer and I are picking NC State to win this game. Next, we have Michigan State at Washington. This game is really weird to me because I'm going to be honest with you. These are two teams who had games where I don't know anything. I've watched them. I just don't know anything because of the talent they played against, and I don't really know how good these teams are. And so I'm gonna trust. Oh my gosh, I can't. I always do this. This is why I need Spencer here. I'm gonna trust Michigan State. Both of us are picking the Spartans to win. I will say this though, Penix at Washington looks really good. He's got his old offense coordinator from the 2019 Indiana team there. So I'm very curious to see how that pans out. Okay, number seven, or the seventh game is Liberty at Wake Forest. I do not know why we're picking this game. It's going to be Wake Forest. Wake Forest big, Liberty sucks and can't stop anybody. All right, number eight, Purdue at Syracuse. Well, I was high on Purdue in the offseason, and then that Penn State game happened, and my eyes got awakened. Their defense is not good. Cuse seems to have a really good defense, and they seem to have a quietly really good offense. We're both picking Syracuse to win this game, and Dino Babers is going to save his job. Or like, it really does seem that way. Next, Kansas at Houston. Let's go with the upset here. This is where Spencer and I are going to have our first differing. He's picking Houston. I actually watched Houston play last week. He didn't, apparently. I am taking Kansas to get the two wins on the season. I think it's better than that. I think this is gonna be their third win. Let me look this up real quick. I know this is great podcasting, but folks, if this is, I think I'm right. I think this is gonna be their third win, and this is gonna break their win total. They're gonna go over. Oh, let me find Kansas. Okay, I'm going to keep going. I hope y'all are doing well. I hope your week's going awesome as I scroll through this trying to find them. Yes, they already have two wins, folks. They beat West Virginia last week, and I'm going to tell you this much. There's no way that West Virginia has a better quarterback than Houston does. So give me Kansas. Spencer's taking Houston. We differ. All right, number 10. All right, fake ID time. Mississippi State. I have been all over you this offseason. I have praised you for how many players you're returning. I have praised you because I love your coach. I have praised you because you actually give your coach a defense. You cannot go in to have, you cannot, I know it's the Valley. I know it's Death Valley. You cannot go into LSU and lose. You have to find a way to win this game. I don't care. Just like with Auburn, or just like with Penn State and Auburn, you have to find a way to get around the voodoo, and you have to beat LSU. Spencer is taking Mississippi State. I really want to take LSU here. I think here's the game like App State and A&M from last week. This is the game where I think an upset could easily happen, and I would keep an eye on this. I'm just not brave enough to call the outright upset, so give me Mississippi State. And then, look, UGA at South Carolina. I'm not calling for a fake ID here. I think Georgia is legit. I think Georgia is so good that they will cover. I think this might be a better team. I think this might be a better team than last year overall, talking about Georgia. So, but we'll see as the season goes on. I don't know if we'll have the same results. I just think that there might be more talent across the board. I don't really have time for to do the little dumb thing I was going to do. I was just going to say is watch Rings of Power. It's really good. But guys, I hope, man, thank y'all so much for listening. Thank you for taking 45 minutes to listen to me babble. I just appreciate everything y'all do. We would not have a show if it wasn't for y'all. So, as Spencer says, two friends, one love, and that is college football. We'll catch you on the flip-flop. Later.